morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to have you with us here on Holy Spirit Radio. Let's kick things off today with prayer as we do each day. Today we will pray. What will we pray today? I'm looking for that. One of these days I'm going to really start preparing for this show. Today we're going to pray the morning offering. Please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. For all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in thanksgiving for your favors, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular, for the intentions of the Holy Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have got a really good show today. Coming up in the hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and he's from Catholic Distance University. He's going to give us some ideas about how to start cultivating a Catholic faith, check this out, that goes beyond Sunday Mass. Specifically, he's going to talk about the importance of Catholic social teachings. I think this is an area that often gets confused. Many people don't know what to make of issues such as immigration. How do we balance being practical with church teaching? Dr. Bunsen's going to share some insight on that. And also, since it is Friday, we'll be joined by our friend Dan Burke, who will take us into the deep. We've been doing a series for the past several weeks about prayer, how we can use sacred scripture to pray. Use the Bible, open the Bible up, let the Lord speak to us, and then we speak to Him. That's the series that we're going to continue with our buddy Dan Burke. We'll have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. We'll have our usual assortment of music. We'll have Matthew Kelly with the best Lent ever. And as we have each morning, we have Dave Parker.
And thank you. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Hey, Gare, I think, are you embarking on another mission? Perhaps coming up?
I have another mission.
If you don't mind me mentioning that?
Yes, I have. Well, I have two events. I'm going to your hometown, as I mentioned, on the air. I'm right after the show. I'm heading getting into the car and heading to Erie, Pennsylvania.
All right.
So yes. I want you to talk to your people over in Erie and say that I'm coming.
I will and text to treat and me call nicely. My people.
That's right.
All right.
So
I think you're going to find it's going to be worthwhile. Erie is a beautiful little town.
I've never been there. Yeah. Never been
Hopefully
there before.
Hopefully the weather will cooperate and there will be some sun. If not, don't be too harsh of a judge on it. It might be overcast.
There is no snow in the forecast. I'm glad about that.
Yeah, temperature in the 50s. I looked that up, too.
Because, as you said, even in late March in Erie, you just don't know.
Oh, I've been there visiting family and friends, and to wake up, and there's like 5 inches of snow on the ground.
Mm. But, whoa. Yes.
I don't think for this trip of yours.
Right. We won't have this, and I'm speaking at the men's conference. They call it the 2232 Catholic Men's Conference. It is sponsored or organized by Father Larry Richards, our friend, and I've shared on the air. Father Larry told me if I'm not good, he's going to kill me. He told me if I go more than an hour, he's going to yank me off the stage. So
we were just talking about
no
that.
Pressure or anything. Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to be speaking with Justin Fatica, and I think there's one other speaker. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I've never been to, I think it's at the old Warner Theater.
The old
Dave,
Warner Theater
old...
in Erie. If anyone has ever been up to Erie back in the day when it was a beautiful movie theater, very, you know, old-fashioned, ornate, and now it's been refurbished, many years ago into a convention center or into a, you know, a venue that will host many large events, you know.
So I'll be there, and then Saturday, right after the conference, I come home because Sunday I'm speaking at all the masses at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish, right here in Warrington, right down the road, where, as you say, I'm leading my final parish mission for Lent this year. Mm-hmm. I've done three so far. This is my fourth, and it begins Sunday night, 7 p.m. at St. Robert Bellarmine. The theme, pray, hope, and don't worry. So if you're in the area, please stop on by. I would love to meet you at St. Robert Bellarmine at the parish mission. That's going to be Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And when have you been sleeping of late?
Lent has been busy. Lent has been very busy. Yeah. But I see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's coming to an end, and it's been an incredible time. And
I think the Holy Spirit is also powering you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
we gotta rely on the gifts of the Holy Spirit the energy.
We do. And by the way, Dave, you wanted to mention something special that's taking place at your parish.
Oh, yeah. It's St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Fairless Hills, PA, on this Sunday at 2 p.m. We are going to have a different, a variant of the Stations of the Cross, and it's called the Marian Way of the Cross. Mm. And I just wanted to give a shout-out for any of those folks that may want to come and participate. Please do so. It's a very beautiful, version of the Stations of the Cross. I'll be one of the readers.
Nice.
Okay, so thank
nice.
You.
Nice. Well, yeah, thanks for mentioning
pray
that.
For me.
Oh, okay. Definitely. And also, while we have a minute, I want to just highlight some of the features that we'll be having next week on Spirit in the Morning. Megan Coakley from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. She is the director of the Office of New Evangelization. She's going to be joining us on Monday to talk about some of the upcoming events that the Archdiocese will be offering in the month to come. Tony Rossi from the Christophers will be here on Tuesday to announce the winners of the annual Christopher Awards. And you know what, Dave?
That's a big deal.
The announcement is going to be made on Tuesday. So we're going to get Tony, I think, even before the announcement of the award winners comes. Each year they offer awards to various books and movies and TV programs.
Like a little peek before.
Yes, so he's going to make the announcement on Tuesday. He will be here to tell us about that. We'll have Stephen Henley from the Legatus organization here on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we have something really special. Teresa Peterson, who was on the show before, she is going to be teaming up with some other musical artists. They're going to be doing a series of concerts in the area. They're going to be in the studio live. We'll be doing a live 1-hour program featuring some music, and we will talk about this. This is sponsored by Abbey Fest.
Yes.
And we're going to hear more about that. That's going to be Thursday on the program. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then next Friday, two things are happening. Number one, our friend Jack Beers from Dynamic Catholic Institute will join us to check up on us and see if this really is our best Lent ever.
A little barometric reading.
Yeah,
like, where are
we,
everyone?
Right. What do you think when I get Jack on? Should I say, Jack, this has been my worst Lent ever? You think that would scare him? No, I'm not going to do that.
May not go there.
Jack, I have to say, this is my worst Lent ever.
If it's the truth,
No.
I know.
That's not nice.
I know. No.
And then Friday evening, we will be live at Teresa Peterson's concert at Nativity Parish in Warminster. So we're going to be broadcasting live, and that'll be in the evening, but we'll, I believe, air some of the highlights from that on the show in the weeks to come.
Yeah, if you recall, folks, she was she joined us in studio the day before Thanksgiving.
That's right.
I think it was Wednesday, the 23rd, something of November. It was awesome, and we've replayed that at least once, if not twice, because it was such a good show.
Yeah. So lots coming up next week. I hope you'll continue to listen to Spirit in the Morning and let your friends know about us. It is time for the gospel now. Today we go to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe then said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," and no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is powerful. And in fact, if you listen to yesterday's program when I was talking with Jimmy Akin, we talked about this, the fact that the Lord did say the greatest of the commandments is that we love the Lord with all we got. We give him all we got. And the second is we love our neighbor as ourself. Dave, in a few minutes, we're going to have Dr. Matthew Bunsen on talking about Catholic social teaching. That's what that that concept is all about.
Yes, it is.
It's one thing to go to Mass faithfully every Sunday, which we're obliged to do with as Catholics. That's what we need to do. But are we living, are we taking what we get at Mass on Sunday and applying it to our daily lives?
Exactly.
Sometimes that's a challenge.
Yes. And oh, some, not only sometimes.
Right, I mean.
Oh, yes. It's what I would say it's very hard to do because, I mean, just when Gary was talking, I'm thinking, like, what if that person that, for some reason, you get you lock horns with someone.
Right.
And, you know, they're critical of you. And I mean, it's hard.
It is.
It's
it
hard
is.
To be, to love them as Christ would want us to love them.
Yeah.
We have to get through all the human emotions and all that.
And the whole immigration issue is a big deal. I was up in Massachusetts recently speaking at a Lenten, they had a Lenten speaker series, and I was the opening speaker. And I was talking to the pastor there, and what's happening is their diocese is focused on the whole immigration issue and taking in refugees. And here's the thing, and this is, the pastor was really, I really liked what he had to say about this. He said, I understand, we're afraid. We watch the news, there is a possibility for terrorism and all kinds of concerns. But he said, how do we reconcile that with church teaching,
exactly.
with love your neighbor, with what the church is saying? And that's a challenge. We just can't
Absolutely.
Write off. He said, do we just write it off? He didn't know the answer.
Yeah. I don't think, a lot of us don't know the answer. And that's the conundrum we're all faced with. How do we figure this out? How do we crack this nut, so to speak?
That's right.
And be like Christ and welcoming, but yet we have to be safe.
Exactly.
How do we know?
And it's difficult. So that's why I'm glad we can get Dr. Bunsen on the show. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that. How do you know? Like, how do you know what you should do? I have to reach out to the homeless person. Well, what if I'm afraid of the homeless person? What if he attacks me? I mean, these are valid concerns, and I'm glad Dr. Bunsen can come on the show to talk about these things. He's going to be back with us after the break, and also remember, Dan Burke will be here to take us into the deep coming up later in the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, for starting your day off with us. I hope you stick with us for the entire hour. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Dr. Matthew Bunsen will join us. Stay tuned.
Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for March 24th. Today we celebrate Blessed Oscar Arnolfo Romero. Born in El Salvador in 1917, young Oscar studied in the National Seminary before completing his education in Rome. Because of his conservative reputation, the Salvadoran government welcomed Romero's 1977 appointment as Archbishop of San Salvador. But many parish priests feared that he would hinder their efforts to improve the lives of the poor. In 1979, Archbishop Romero spoke out publicly against the military junta that had seized control of El Salvador. His weekly sermons on national radio were regarded by many as the most trustworthy source of news. In his homily during Mass on March 24, 1980, Romero called on soldiers to obey God's higher order and stop carrying out the government's repressive violations of basic human rights. The archbishop was shot and killed a few moments later. Romero's funeral drew an estimated 250,000 mourners, and his tomb continues to attract thousands of visitors each year. Oscar Romero was beatified in San Salvador in 2015. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Whoa. every single day of your life. I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King.
Hello, my name is by Matthew West. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Just going to do a quick check on the weather. Currently, we have 32 degrees at the Philadelphia International Airport today. Chance of rain mainly before 1 p.m. We'll have a high near 54 tonight. Mostly cloudy, low around 48. And Saturday, slight chance of showers, cloudy with a high all the way up to 67. So it's going to be a nice warm day on Saturday. And I'm so glad you could spend your Friday with us. Dr. Matthew Bunsen from Catholic Distance University is here with us this morning to talk about Catholic social teachings. This is a very hot topic lately. We have so much going on in the world. We have issues such as immigration, war and peace, economics, the dignity of the human person. How do we deal with these issues as Catholics? Dr. Bunsen, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
It's great to have you here. I'm so glad you were able to come on the show to talk about some of these concepts. Dr. Bunsen, I have to be honest with you. I'm hearing a lot from people who are struggling with issues such as immigration. That's the big one that I hear a lot now. And in fact, I was just up in Massachusetts not too long ago giving a talk. And in their diocese, they are, in the Springfield Diocese, they're welcoming refugees. It's part of a diocesan effort, but the people are struggling with this. How do we, can you give us some principles for dealing with some of these difficult Catholic social teachings?
Yeah, well, if we take a sort of the 30,000 foot view first, one of the things that Catholic social teachings tries to do is to take the unchanging teachings of the Church, the wisdom of the Church, of the popes, and apply them to specific circumstances in our lives. And if we go all the way back to the Gospels, one of the things we see are some important pillars.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most central is the dignity of the human person, that each of us is made in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we're endowed and filled with an innate dignity and worth and value, certainly in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question is, how do we take that and apply it to specific circumstances? And that's where Catholic social teachings come in. That how can we build strong families, better society, work for the common good, while at the same time understanding that dignity and that this is what Christ is really calling us to do, to see in each other Christ.
Right.
So it's understandable that the people are really struggling with a lot of policy issues.
Yes.
But if we start with that, I think we can begin to appreciate why the popes have been so concerned for well over a century, since Pope Leo XIII, trying to help people understand on the ground those basic principles.
And I think one of the challenges for practicing Catholics is we hear messages from Jesus. I just read today's Daily Gospel, where Jesus said the two most important commandments are loving God with all your body, with all your mind, soul, heart, and strength, and secondly, loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, I was talking to a pastor up in Massachusetts when I was up there, and again, the people are struggling with this idea of bringing in refugees. And he said, the question is, what do we do? Can we just ignore the words of Christ, or do we have to come up with a way to integrate? I mean, I think I know the answer, to integrate what the Lord is saying into our daily lives.
Yeah, well, you've hit on a really important question, and that is, who is my neighbor? And it's a question that the popes have been asking, all the popes, really, since Leo XIII, who's called the father, sort of Catholic social thought, which is famous encyclical at the end of the 19th century, mm-hmm. called Rerum Novarum. And popes have been grappling with this very question since. And if we ponder who is our neighbor, we're touching on a very important principle, and that is solidarity.
Okay.
That our neighbor is anyone in the world who's suffering, anyone both here and someplace in a distant country. Because, again, we're made in God's image and likeness with that human dignity. Now, the question then becomes, there's another pillar of Catholic social teachings we have to be aware of, and that's the common good.
Right.
What is the common good? And so the Church teaches, and it's complex, and we recognize that, that every country, every person has to work for the common good, recognizing, having that solidarity, and asking that question, who is our neighbor? But at the same time, the common good can entail proper borders, proper defense of the country.
Mm.
And it's finding that balance, I think, that is the great struggle.
Now, when the Church teaches that we must take care of our neighbors and our, you know, those in need, is there an implication there that my safety is secondary? In other words, like, well, I have to do this. I don't care if it might not be safe. I need to do this. There is a balance there. I think that's what you're saying, correct?
Exactly. But and Pope Francis has talked about this, and he's very famous in certainly the mainstream media for being an advocate for helping immigrants, for helping refugees.
Right.
But at the same time, he has said, and this often doesn't go very well reported, mm-hmm. that you can't put your own country at risk, that you can't put your own safety at risk. You can't put the safety of your family at risk. And in fact, by doing that, you're not really helping the refugee or the immigrant. By creating a circumstance of chaos, of political risk, for the safety and economic welfare of a country. So it's always finding that balance again of what are the rights of a country, mm-hmm. striving for the common good while at the same time working for human dignity. And that's where another one of those great terms from the Catholic social teaching comes in, and that's called prudential judgments. And that is making right decisions and policies that are informed by charity, the virtue of charity and faith, working for the common good, that balances the rightful concerns of a country for its safety with the obligations to to be caring to ask that question, who is my neighbor?
I'm so glad you pointed that out because, as you said, this does not get reported because generally what we hear, well, it's either one or the other. We either bring let everybody come in or, you know,
right.
or we let nobody come in. But that prudential judgment, that is important. Dr. Bunsen, Catholic social justice is sometimes confused with various radical forms of liberation theology and things of that nature. What do Catholic social teachings actually say?
Well, what they say is that we have to remember that the call from Christ is a radical one.
Right.
But what does radical mean? It means that we truly give of ourselves, that we love that we do things in charity.
Mm-hmm.
There are reasons why hope, faith, and love are theological virtues.
Right.
And that does not mean, however, that we miss it or lose sight of the objective truth of the Church,
mm-hmm.
or that we water down the teachings of the Church, or worse, that we embrace ideologies that in the end will introduce truly non-Catholic, non-Christian elements. And what I mean by that is radical forms of revolution.
Okay.
One of the words that I think we're sort of dancing around is a famous phrase called liberation theology.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That tried to bring about liberation for the poor and the oppressed, but it does it using models that are from communism,
mm-hmm. okay.
that are antithetical to the teachings of the Church, that are ultimately atheistic, but that also forget that what we're really trying to be liberated from is sin,
mm-hmm.
and that Christ is that way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, not revolution through violence, not overthrowing what often they call the material structures of sin, where we slip into language that sparks violence, that brings about the violent overthrow,
mm-hmm.
or that uses atheistic ideas of the community and government structures and Marxism to create a kind of earthly paradise when, right. in fact, what we're really trying to do is to bring people to Christ.
And that's the important thing to keep in mind. We have less than a minute left before we go to break. Could you quickly recommend some sources for further reading if somebody wants to find out more about Catholic social teaching?
Yeah, one of the things that I always suggest to people is pick one of the great social encyclicals and just type in, just go to the great Google,
right.
and type in social encyclical and start with Leo XIII. It's called Rerum Novarum.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come all the way down through the popes and you'll have this beautiful body. But I always suggest starting with a thing called the Compendium of the Social Teachings of the Church.
Okay.
And it sounds very heavy, but
it does,
actually,
yeah.
it's very accessible.
Interesting.
And it's a lovely document. If you also go to the Bishops' Conference, usccb.org,
right.
they have a lot of wonderful resources for Catholic social teachings, including the very topics that we're talking about today.
Excellent. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, thank you for joining us. You really made some, you enlightened us on what I think is a very difficult topic. Thanks again for being with us on Spirit in the Morning.
God bless.
God bless you as well. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, when we come back, we're going into the deep with Dan Burke. Stay tuned.
This is Frank Eliasson with your Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak has been freed after 6 years of being held up in a hospital room, ending the desire of many to see him prosecuted for crimes during his presidency. In the United States, President Trump continues his fight to pass changes to the Affordable Care Act. Yesterday, the vote before the House of Representatives was canceled due to a lack of number of votes to pass it. Today, a new vote is scheduled. Many sources have stated that House Republicans have been provided an ultimatum. Either pass the changes to the Affordable Care Act today or allow what has become known as Obamacare to continue. The Trump administration has also ordered new, tougher screening of visa applications. The police in Britain have made two key arrests in their investigation of Wednesday's terrorist attack In London news, a deadly three-vehicle crash has closed a ramp on the Schuylkill Expressway westbound on Route 1. The crash happened at 4 a.m. After the cold spell of the past few days and even snow a week ago, we will see a touch of spring tomorrow with highs around 72 in the Philadelphia area. In sports, the Elite Eight is starting to take shape in the NCAA tournament with a big surprising win by Xavier over the two-seed Arizona. Also winning yesterday, Kansas 98-66, Gonzaga etching out West Virginia 61-58, and Oregon just beating Michigan 69-68. With your Holy Spirit Radio News Update, this is Frank Eliason.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims. Although we are still in the depths of winter, spring and summer are not far behind, and we need to be thinking about servicing our heating system after the long winter and getting our air conditioning system ready for the summer ahead. Proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County, we only allow good-natured technicians to carry the Summers and Zims name into your home. So call us at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at SumZim.com for the services you need.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. During World War II in Italy, when the fascist government started persecuting the Jewish people, Tour de France champion Gino Bartoli joined a secret network of freedom fighters who delivered forged identity documents to Italian Jews and refugees, hoping to escape imprisonment or death. Gino did this by smuggling the documents inside his bicycle. He also hid his old friend Giacomo Goldenberg and his family in an apartment he owned. By the time World War II ended, Gino's actions had saved hundreds of Jewish lives, and although he never publicized this fact because he felt it would be bragging, his full story was finally revealed posthumously by authors Eile and Andres McConnon in their Christopher Award-winning biography Road to Valor. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
was Open Hands by Laura Story featuring Mac Powell. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Every Friday on the program, Dan Burke joins us. He is the executive director of EWTN's National Catholic Register. He's also the president of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation. He's been joining us to talk about his excellent book, Into the Deep, Finding Peace Through Prayer. Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Dan. Hello, Dan.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Are you there, brother?
There we go.
Ah, that's Dan Burke. Good morning. How you doing, Dan?
Good, good.
Okay, here's the deal. This week, we've been going through the steps in your book, talking about what you call discovery prayer, which is another name for Lectio Divina. We talked about reading a passage of sacred scripture. We talked about reflecting on the passage. And this week, I wanted to ask you about step three, which is responding to the passage. And Dan, the question I have for you, and I hear this one a lot, is if I'm responding to a passage, I'm reading something that the Lord is saying to me, do I have to be careful in what I say to him, or should I just tell him what's on my mind?
Well, I think that, God is always ready, waiting to crush us if we do any slight wrong. And so you have to be...
I hear you.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're laughing, of course, because that's absurd. Yeah. But it is a good question, because a lot of people don't have any real understanding how to pray or even a proper understanding of who God is. And if by the way, any of our listeners was inclined to believe what I was just saying about God waiting to crush us if we do anything wrong, you should meditate on the prodigal son and his father and how God responded to him. But of course, God is, when we approach him in a state of grace, which is important because the life of God needs to be flowing through us. There needs to be a health in our relationship with him. Right. No, there isn't any magic formula or secret way, or we don't have to use any these or thous as we pray. He's not looking for eloquence of speech. And in fact, the conversation, of course, it's different than our conversation right now. I mean, the similarities are God has revealed himself as person, and so you and I are persons, and so we can converse as persons, and there's reality in that with God. But of course, there's more reverence. You know, we don't want to say, "Hey, dude, what's up?" You know, when we're praying.
Right.
I've also heard people who take his grace to an extreme, and have this weird comfort with cussing or way too flippant and loose in prayer,
right?
And that's dishonoring and disrespectful to God, and we shouldn't do that. But in general, we can, of course, speak to him. He has revealed himself in Scripture as our friend,
right?
As our Redeemer, as our Savior,
right?
But certainly with probably the highest degree of reverence that we would ever offer another person.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, a kind of reverence. It's like having a king as a best friend, you know. I'm thinking of the passage in Hebrews where we're free to enter into the Holy of Holies now, whereas in the past that would be approached with fear and trepidation.
Right.
And so in the Holy of Holies is the King who is our friend and who will smile at our approach, you know, and probably step off the throne and embrace us and say, "Welcome, I'm grateful you came." And then we should converse with him on that kind of basis.
But we shouldn't be afraid to express our thoughts, correct?
Yeah, I mean, so anyway, he knows them all, right?
Right, exactly. but Dan, people have, and I run into this a lot, people have a problem telling the Lord, I'm not trusting you. I help me to trust you more, because they're afraid. Or the other thing that I run into people having a hard time with is, come on, Lord, you got to help me with this. I know you can do it. And that's not really exhibiting a lack of faith in him. On the other hand, it's really imitating what we see in the book of Psalms in putting our faith in the Lord, saying, Lord, you can do this. I know you can do this. Come on, Lord. I mean, that, I think that's a healthy way of responding.
Yeah, I agree. What you said reminds me of one of my favorite prayers in the New Testament, and that I'm so grateful the Lord put in there, or allowed us to record and allowed to be recorded in the Gospels. But when the man said to Jesus, I believe, Lord, please help my unbelief.
Yes, yes.
You know, what did he mean when he said that? He said, it means a lot. It means I'm weak, I'm broken. There's a part of me that believes. There's a part of me that doesn't believe. Mm-hmm. And I know that you can help me to come to full belief. And so, yeah. And then some of the other things that you were just saying a minute ago reflect a traditional teaching of the church called an act of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we pray, we can only have a smidgen of belief, but we say an act of faith, we express an act of faith, which is an affirmation of the will that even can, bring about belief. There's power in the words to say, you are worthy, Lord, you are holy, you are good. I struggle with whether or not, you know, you're even listening to me, but I believe in the church, I believe in the sacraments, and so as an act of faith, Lord, please, you know, I lay this prayer before you, and I know that you can and desire to draw me ever more deeply to you, and so thus you will, and that is an act of faith, and that is efficacious.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad we're talking about this, Dan, because just last week I was in Florida leading a parish mission, and a lady asked a question. She said, all right, you said we're supposed to be talking to the Lord. What do I say to him? Do I just pray the Our Father? Do I pray a Hail Mary? Or can I talk to him openly? So this is a question that really is on the minds of many people. So we need to know this. We need to know that our Father in heaven loves us, and we can talk to him as if he is a friend, because he is a friend. Same goes for Jesus and really the Holy Spirit. But we have to keep that sense in mind that he is the Lord. So there has to be a little respect. There has to be respect there.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that can be helpful in this realm, Gary, is for people to read the Psalms. So if you're brand new in prayer, you might read the Psalms to develop the language of prayer, because the Psalms are just a constant flow of consciousness, ebb and flow, consolation and desolation and faithlessness and faithfulness and all kinds of expressions of God's of a man to God, of God to man, and they're done through turmoil and through peace and through triumph and victory and through defeat. And the Psalms are prayed every day by religious and by priests, and I pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that can give you a sense of the wide range of kind of dialogue with God that you can have. But yeah, I mean, really, we're invited into this conversation since the moment we're brought, the moment we're conceived, and he does want to converse with us. He does want to commune with us. That's why he brought us into existence.
Mm.
So really, it's a tragedy that when we don't speak to him.
Right.
It's a tragedy when we don't express our hearts to him.
So just to recap, what we're doing is we're talking about reading a passage in the Bible, letting the Lord speak to us. And for instance, Dan, today's gospel, I just read the daily gospel, where Jesus talked about the two greatest commandments, loving God with all you got and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's a message. When I hear that, I can see the response coming back from me. The one I feel is, okay, Lord, sometimes my neighbor gets on my nerves. What do I do? I mean, that's a valid response, isn't it?
It's a perfect response, yeah. Or, you know, that passage says to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Mm.
And I considered the mind this morning, and I thought, well, Lord, it seems in our time that everyone's giving their minds to everything but you, to television, to gaming, to, you know, to all kinds of things. And we're supposed to give our entire mind to you, Lord. And are there areas in my life where I've not given the entirety of my mind to you? Cleanse me, show me, you know, reveal to me.
Amen.
But that's the way that you can respond.
Dan Burke, I am loving this series. I really thank you for coming on with us each week because I'm getting a lot out of it, and I know our listeners are as well. Dan, if we want to follow you online, the best place is spiritualdirection.com. Is that correct?
You got it. Go to spiritualdirection.com. You can sign up for a daily email of some kind of spiritual inspiration or formation.
Okay.
And then you can learn about everything we do through spiritualdirection.com.
Wonderful. And also the book Into the Deep by Dan Burke, Finding Peace Through Prayer, available on that website as well as dynamiccatholic.com. Dan, thanks again for being with us. God bless you, brother.
You too. God bless. Take care.
All right. Dan Burke with our weekly Into the Deep segment. I love that segment. I really do. When we come back, we're going to have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, but stay tuned for Best Lent Ever as well.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
You know, in our modern world of comfort and convenience, we don't experience necessarily physical hunger that often. We can deal with our physical hunger fairly quickly in most situations. In our modern experience. But we have a lot of different hungers. You know, we have obviously spiritual hungers and emotional hungers and intellectual hungers. And so there's hunger around every aspect of the human person. And getting in touch with our hunger is one of the great spiritual gifts. And it's actually a derivative gift from the gift of awareness that we spoke about earlier. You know, how aware are we of what's going on around us? How aware are we of what's going on within us? And do we know what we're hungry for? Do you know what you're hungry for at this time in your life? You know, we read about the scriptures, or we read in the scriptures, Jesus came to feed the hungry and to heal the sick. And obviously, a very literal reading of the scripture could say, well, I'm not hungry and I'm not sick, but we are. We are hungry. We are sick. Do we know our hunger? Do we know our sickness? I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and he was reading Resisting Happiness, and he had just got done with the chapter on hunger. And my friend is a professional athlete, a very, very successful professional athlete. And I said to him, so what did you work out? He said, you know, to be honest, I'm hungry for community. He went on basically to say that being famous as a sporting figure and being wealthy as a sporting figure are both impediments to authentic community. And I think we all yearn for that. You know, we might not have those impediments, but I think we all yearn for that community. We all yearn to belong. You know, why do kids go off and join gangs? Why do people go off and join cults? Why do people get themselves into these situations? Because we have this yearning for community. We have this hunger to belong. What are you hungry for? Maybe you're hungry for community. Maybe you're hungry for something else, but we are all hungry for something. And Jesus, he came to feed the hungry.
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Call It Grace by Unspoken. I'm Gary Zimak, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Boy, we had a great show today. Dan Burke, Matthew Bunsen, Matthew Kelly.
Wow.
Man, some good information on the program today. Now it's time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today comes from Mark 4:39. He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. If you need that calm in your life, just remember that Jesus can calm the wind in your life. Just make sure, as Dan Burke was discussing in the last segment, that you turn to him and you say, "Lord, please help me calm the storm in my life." Whatever it is, get that dialogue going. Make sure you're talking to him every day. And you will see great things happening in your life. And of course, this Be Not Afraid Bible verse and all the verses I use each day, they're taken directly from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. If you want to find out more, check out my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, at this time, we are joined by our operations manager, Frank Eliason. Hey, Frank.
How are you?
Good job with the news today, by the way, brother.
Yes. You know, kudos to Anna for the news that she does every day. You never realize how hard that is until the day you sit there and try and cut news down to 90 seconds and put it in. You know, for her to do that each and every day in the midst of her other show, kudos to Anna. Yes. I've always had a respect for her, but
let me say
today,
this,
Frank, even more so.
Kid, I think you got a future in news.
We're editing, however you look at it.
So speaking of news, you have some news that you want to discuss, Frank?
It's a big day. I'm Archbishop Wood grad of 1990, and Archbishop Wood boys are playing in Hershey, Pennsylvania tonight at 8 p.m., and that is for the championship.
Oh boy.
So state championship against Meadville.
I was just going to ask. Oh, that's 40 miles south of Erie.
Oh, okay.
That's
I think you should go on over. I think but not only that, tomorrow at 6, Archbishop Wood girls basketball team is up against Trinity. So both teams are up for state championships.
In Hershey at the
Giant Center. Okay. So, this is just kudos to the Wood Vikings for all that they've done with their program this year. They've gone really, it was always traditionally, especially in the boys, to be like Roman or one of the other teams. It was very it wasn't Wood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wood not only changed all that dynamic, they've won along every single level this year, and now up for the state championship. So, kudos to everybody at Archbishop Wood and the team.
I was going to say, now, is this a first?
This will be a first.
Men's and women's
team? Well, it's a first for their boys team as it is.
But both making it on the same year.
I think that's kind of interesting in itself.
Maybe that's something to look into for some trivia. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
good luck.
It's really just incredible. I actually stopped over there the other day, and first time in years I've been to Archbishop Wood and met their chaplain, a really nice guy. And so, it's really just pleasure being there. But a lot going on at that school.
Did you find your old locker?
I did walk by a few of my old lockers as we were there. Yeah. But it was really funny. I went over there and you expect there to be students everywhere, and they actually had a retreat day and left early. So no one was around. But, that's my kind of luck.
What a nostalgic feeling it is when I go back to my high school
in Erie, or any one of us.
It was so different when I used to go there. Even after hours like that, you could have walked right in. Nowadays, it's all locked up, even for the high school.
That's the difference.
It's kind of, I don't want to say crazy, but it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Reflective of the times, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a lot different. So congratulations, Archbishop Wood. We're behind you, and we'll keep you posted about what's going on.
Absolutely. Right?
Definitely. Well, we're about to run out of time. Let's do our concluding prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Pour your grace into our hearts, we pray, O Lord, that we may be constantly drawn away from unruly desires and obey by your own gift the heavenly teaching you gave us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Provided that Father Larry Richards doesn't kill me, as he said, if I'm not good at his men's conference, I'll be kicking off my Lenten retreat at St. Robert Bellarmine Sunday night at 7 p.m. in Warrington. I'd love to see you there. And then we intend to be back next week for another great week of Spirit in the Morning. Megan Coakley from the Archdiocese will join us on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember, the Lord's with you wherever you go. Turn around and say hi.
Drive safely, Gare.
Thanks, Dave.